Today's episode is sponsored by my Lit Daily Online Yoga Classes. This is an exclusive pass into my personal practice and program that I created from experience as a physical therapist and 20 years developing my Lit Yoga methodology. There is a different class with me every day, including special monthly live streams, so you can feel your most lit up anytime and anywhere. Get a 3-day free trial today by going to movementbylara.com and clicking daily classes. Let's get moving. Today, I'm thrilled to have a gold medalist on my podcast, Michelle Gizin, who is a Swiss World Cup alpine ski racer competing in all disciplines, is also a gold medalist in the 2018 Winter Olympics. She is fabulous, and I just adore her. We met about a year and a half ago when she contacted me on Instagram and asked if I would work with her on her form, hip mobility, shoulder stuff. And I developed some routines for her that she's been incorporating and that has helped her a lot. And I welcome Michelle today to my podcast. Welcome to Redefining Yoga, a Movement by Lara podcast, which is designed to investigate all aspects of the modern evolution of yoga from my background as a physical therapist and lover of movement. My mission is to help everyone find freedom through safer and smarter movement patterns, so together we can be uplifted, benefiting all beings. I am so thrilled to have a special guest today, an Olympian, my first Olympian I've ever had on here. Michelle, I want you to pronounce your last name.
Gizin.
Gizin. I knew I'd mess it up. She is a Swiss alpine gold medalist, downhill skier. And well, alpine is much more than that. I'm going to let you tell us a little bit about your life now as a gold medalist. First of all, welcome. And for those who maybe didn't watch you in these last Olympics, can you tell us what you got your gold medal in?
Well, first, thank you so much for letting me join the show and letting me join your podcast, as I'm such a fan of yours and I adore everything you just said. It's such an amazing introduction of what you do and how you shine your light in this world. I really love that. And yeah, I'm an alpine skier, so I try to go as fast as I can on snow downhill. it's a wonderful sport, but it's a very physical sport. So yeah, we're confronted with a lot of injuries, and yeah, it's not the easiest sport. It's pretty risky, so that's why I found my way to yoga also.
It is amazing. So the goal is to go as fast as you can, throttling down the hill on two little skis. And I mean, when did you start doing this? Because I can imagine this is something you've got to start young and do just consistently to get not only familiar, but just really comfortable with those kinds of speeds.
Yeah, absolutely. I started skiing when I was actually only 1 year old. So maybe even before I could really walk, but my parents are huge fanatics. They love to ski. We live in the Swiss Alps, so a lot of mountains. Yeah, there are a lot of steep hills here, and we live in a valley. Actually, it's snowing really like crazy right now, finally, because everything was just green a couple of days ago. And yeah, finally it's winter. And if you look out there right now, you absolutely understand how they got so fanatic about skiing. And yeah, they just took us with them because they wanted to go back skiing. They never would have imagined to bring all of their kids to a World Cup level, which they actually did somehow. And it was never their dream to make us like super fast skiers, but they just wanted to share the joy of the sport. And I think that's what made us pretty good.
I think so. And I think it's a really good point that, you know, they weren't forcing it, you know, because there are a lot of high elite athletes where unfortunately the parents do get a bad rap for being these, you know, just starting at a young age and pushing and driving the kid. And so in a way the parent and child aren't separated. But I think it actually speaks a lot to your parents' love for you and the sport that all three of you got into it, because you know what, they just exposed you to it And by doing that and their own joy in it, it sounds like you all fell in love with it and had, of course, some kind of DNA, inner drive to succeed.
Absolutely.
So your sister is the first, is that correct?
Yeah. And then my brother just, got into it too. And then I just stumbled along because I was 5 and 8 years younger than those two. And I just wanted to do what they are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And as I got older, I myself found the spark of passion. And I joined the family tradition, what seemed to be a family tradition.
That's amazing. So talk us through this. At what point did it become a hobby, a passion, a family activity, and then transfer into something that you are doing as a full-time profession?
Well, it starts to get really serious at like when you're 16, but I think that's the thing. You just said it with my parents, that I feel like when I was 16 years old, it was a huge decision for myself for my future. I had to decide if I want to stay in our normal school, I think that's high school,
mm-hmm.
to prepare for college, or if I wanted to go to a sports school, which I'm grateful is also in where we live, so I could still stay home and live here. But you get to this professional lifestyle and you start to train really hard. So I think it's really cool that this was my decision. It was never like, your sister did it and your brother did it, so you just will do it too. But it was a pretty hard decision to make, because at 16, you have to be sure. But
sense that you weren't sure if you would be giving up something from a kind of normal high school experience, or hard because of the physicality to it, or all of the above?
Yeah, I think it was really hard because I was kind of a nerd without studying a lot, but I loved school and I loved, I had great classmates, and there was such a drive to knowledge, you know. It was pretty good class. I think it's not that everyone can enjoy that, and I think that was so cool. And then they were all preparing for college and your university, and I realized, okay, if you go to sports school, well, you can still go to university afterwards. I still got my high school degree, but they had more topics to do and more topics to choose, and it's just a better preparation for college. So I think, that was the moment I thought, but I would love to learn all this stuff, you know. But in the end, the love for skiing,
right.
It was big.
And like many professional athletes, it is assumed there is a shelf life for your body to do such, to perform at this elite level. Whereas you could, somebody in their 70s can come back and go to college and go to university. So,
exactly.
What is the hardest? I mean, people ask a lot of questions, and I'm going to kind of put them in different buckets, but a lot were about the physical part of it. Like, what is the hardest part on your body in terms of the way you're training?
It's our quads. So we got huge legs.
Mm-hmm.
My boyfriend's an alpine skier too, and he's pretty small. And he has, it's like a trunk. He has two legs that seem just like tree trunks, and he's so strong. So we do a lot of squats, and we train. We really train a lot for our leg strength. But it's such a fascinating sport because you have to include everything, because we're pretty similar. Our performance has to be pretty similar as a 800 meter sprinter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's two rounds in track and field. But on the other hand, it's so complex. The complexity of alpine skiing is so high because it's very coordinative. And it's actually pretty quick. You have to be pretty quick in your movements and very strong. But still, your season... Actually, I do all the disciplines. So now I'm skipping two weekends because it just, we realized I have to train. But if I wouldn't do that, it's 18 weeks in a row of racing and at least 2 or 3 races a week. So that's really hard. And you have to have this endurance to keep up all the pace and to be still in a good shape at the end of the season to perform again at your highest level.
That's 18 weeks in different countries sometimes too. Like you're traveling. Yeah. It's not just the actual show up, go as fast as you can. There is like getting there. I've talked to you before because we've worked a little bit together Skype wise, and you were saying like even the schlepping of the equipment and the cold, there's all of these other elements that we sometimes don't consider that put a lot on your body and your mental state just to get there, you know?
Yeah.
Do you have anybody that's carrying your equipment?
I got a technician. Okay. He's great. I love him. He's just great. And he carries, like he prepares all my skis and he carries them around.
That's amazing.
So he has like a little minivan full of skis all the time, mm-hmm. wherever we go. And he has to prepare them. And then he has a table and prepares them and stuff. And that's a huge work. And I would never have a chance to ski at a level like that without somebody like him. And I would never have a chance to win races or be on a podium without somebody like him, because he's so good and he's such a great personality. So I'm really lucky with that. But of course, I still, to go on a mountain on race day, I still carry a lot of stuff. And in summer, we have to carry sometimes 3 pairs of skis, that's around 30 kilos. And then you have a huge backpack with 1 or 2 ski boots, your helmet and stuff. And you never warm up. That's a huge thing. We talked about that.
Right,
and I really love your shoulder drills. I do them so many times, but not often enough. Usually when it's too late, I do them.
Right.
Because we never warm up. And then we put all this stuff on our shoulders and it puts you in a horrible state. Like you carry it and the skis are like that. And then you slouch and you would go crazy.
I know. I need to come and help you guys out. So let's backtrack a little bit. You actually contacted me about, I don't know, a year and a half ago, maybe, to get some advice on I loved it because you didn't necessarily have anything going on with your body per se, but you wanted to optimize the position you were in, which is you were a champion. You want to go and go back in, you know, not only World Cup, but to the Olympics. And you wanted to make sure that your form was as top notch as it could be. Can you talk me through a little bit, like what, you know, where you were in your state of mind that was like, let's look at other factors outside of just the alpine skiing, and how has that helped you? And how would you like to further your goals by, you know, practicing other movement patterns?
Yeah, I think I have to backpedal even a little more because I started yoga, I think it's 6 years ago now, because of, I was in some pain with my knees and I really, it was just some kind of inflammation. So I wanted just to stretch because the quads were so tight. And I actually stumbled upon Yoga Girl. What a surprise. Mm-hmm. And I just fell in love with Rachel's personality and her way of inspiring. I think it's
beautiful.
So impressive.
Yeah.
And so I got to know Rachel Braithen on a Instagram follower level. I don't know her actually. But and then I just loved how she showed easy things of yoga. She just explained to you how to do the movements and how to do a simple sun salutation, and not just, you see some yoga persons on Instagram just doing something I could never do, I think.
Right.
Never ever, even if I practiced 10 years. And then I just got into it and I started to screenshot the her videos. I stopped them. That was when you could still stop Instagram. So I stopped it and took a screenshot and I started to put my own flow together and I started to feel how much it helped me and how good it prepared me for all that I did. But I think as I got more flexible, and as my hip joint is super flexible already, the joint itself, I think I started to be a little too much in some poses. Yeah, most of it because afterwards I would go ski and have an impact of like 4G on my body. That's not good if you're too flexible. And that's when I already followed you, and that was also through Rachel's podcast, and mm-hmm. it was the most amazing podcast I've ever listened to when you were on the show. I think now it's twice mm-hmm. or three times
four times I've been on her.
Four times. So I have to check the last one. And then I realized, okay, this woman can help me so much. And I just tried to reach out to you and you answered immediately. It was so cool. And that was when we started to talk. And that was, preparing for last season in summer. And to stabilize kind of my practice mm-hmm. and learn a lot, because it was more of learning by doing when I started practice yoga. And then I had some really important things that you taught me, which I should focus on.
Yeah.
And that helped a lot. And I still do a lot of your drills that you gave me for warm up. And I just love how you can put the whole body in a good state. It's not just warming up one muscle or loosening up one joint, but preparing everything together. And that's why I practice them every day if I'm on the hill.
Oh, wow. You are, way to go. And this is why you're an Olympian, because you're dedicated. And that's the thing, is to bring in all the tools in your toolbox to help you be your best. And I love how you said a really important thing, which is if you're too flexible, and then you have all this demand put on you, 4Gs. I mean, my goodness. But I see this a lot in the dance world. I've worked with a lot of dancers and they get really flexible and then they're jumping and landing. And it's not maybe 4Gs, but it's like they've got to have the tissue hold the joints. And if it's too flexible and they don't have that stability, there's so many dancers that end up with a ton of hip and knee, ankle injuries and pain. And so there is this balance that's needed for that to optimize your performance, where you need to be able to mobilize your hip in the fullest range, but within that range you need strength throughout it. And if the position you're in, where you're like super crouched, super flexed, and you just have to hold, because you're going at what's the speed you're going at the top?
It's the fastest I've ever been was 135 kilometers per hour. So I think that's 80 miles.
Oh yeah, more than 80 miles. Yeah, what does that feel like? Do you ever have a moment like, oh shit, I'm going to
I absolutely do have that. Because I'm usually a slalom skier. I started with slalom skiing, which is just be quick around a lot of gates. You mm-hmm. go with 60 kilometers per hour, which would be 40 miles. So it's not that fast. And then I started to do downhill skiing, which is super fast. And the first downhill race of the season is in Lake Louise. And usually it's also the fastest that we do. And last year it was super fast. That was also when in the last race I was skiing with 135. So in the beginning, I just skied down that pitch where you accelerated that much. And I was just like, okay, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay.
And I was so you say scared. That too. Okay.
Yeah. I was so scared.
Oh my gosh. But
yeah. Then you just have to keep everything together as well as you can, because it will slow down again.
Yeah.
It's usually just the moment that you accelerate that much. But please, has many parts where you're above 120 kilometers. So that's 80 miles per hour.
That's incredible. Do you find that talking to yourself in that way is what holds you together? Is that, a recommendation as an athlete?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe it's hard to say. We've been talking about this weekend about the different little, we were imagining little, that everyone has a little man in his head, And mine is he has a lot of buttons, but if he gets scared, he's just running around with his hair on fire. But I'm glad that he still pushes the right button. So then I'm usually a very safe skier. I never crashed in downhill because I'm pretty scared also. So I always choose the wiser line. And yeah, you can be very fast on that line usually too. So
it's really a balance of like pushing your own edges to get faster. When you're trying to get faster, what is it that helps you get faster? That you're tighter, that you're leaning into the hill more?
Yeah, also. But on downhill, in downhill skiing, you can accelerate without even taking the straightest or the tightest line. But by using the G forces out of the swing so well that you can accelerate, even though that you were doing some meters more than the other athletes. But in slalom or giant slalom, you have to be this is so fascinating because it's the same sport, but it works completely different. And the skis are like the slalom skis are 1 meter 55, and my downhill skis are 2 meters 20. So that's a huge difference. It's like something completely else, but it's so similar. And that's so fascinating because in slalom and GS, you also have this acceleration where you can use your skis, but if you do too much weight, if you're skiing like much more than the others, you will always lose. But it's also this very tight, balance. It's all right. About balance in our sport. It's fascinating.
I think it is in every sport, right? In addition to the practice on the mountain, the workouts in the gym, what are some, and the yoga practice that you incorporate, what are some other things that you find are really necessary as a professional athlete to help you optimize your performance, mind, body, spirit, everything?
Well, yeah, I think it's so important to find some time for yourself, or also sometimes you also have to take a day off of your mind, to not just think about and get crazy about getting better all the time, because it's what we do or what I do most of the time. But sometimes I really have to sit down and eat something not that healthy for once.
Right.
Which is really important. Yeah. It sounds funny, but then you're just like, okay, no, today is I'm going to eat something that's just not healthy and not for my ski racing body or anything. It's just something else. Or you sit down and you just do nothing or watch, like these days I'm just watching tennis because I love to watch other sports. And then you just sit down without phone, without anything, and you try to enjoy something completely different to get your mind off
I think that's great. I
mean, on your mind.
Yeah. Because what's different, you're operating a level that, 99% of the people are not. They're actually the opposite. They're too sedentary. But they might have some of the same kind of struggle of having this end goal, which could be a year out, could be 2 years out, or for some people it could be a decade or whatever. And it's like, if you're constantly going for that and never having these pauses, these moments of just being, of eating what you want, of sitting on the couch or whatever that translates, then we can't sustain ourselves in the high octane, energy all the time. We just can't.
No,
it's not good for you. And then what I've seen with like athletes that retire is they just are at a loss because they've just operated at here and they don't know anything else. And so that's the balance as well. It's like knowing that you're going to have to focus so intently on this very, very specific sport and the different competitions and all that, but at the same time have an identity separate from it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also important to, appreciate your accomplishments along the way, because you have everyone has a big goal in life, I think, or is looking or striving for something. But it's so important to have like small goals and also appreciate those, because we're always running from one thing to next. And I think as an athlete, you feel that a lot, because if I do like not 30 to 35 races a year, and all those, it's every weekend. So I just have to move on. But sometimes it's so important to just sit down on a Monday and tell myself, oh, okay, that was pretty cool what you did there.
Yes.
And analyze very well. And also, analyze without saying, going crazy about what was bad, but seeing the bad things or the things that you can improve, and appreciate what you did and maybe what your body did. And for me, also overcoming my fears in downhill is a huge thing. So it's important to appreciate all those things, you know.
It is. And, you know, you have a gold medal, so you're so humble. You could just sit back and retire. Like, you have something that is incredible. But I love that you said, like, just appreciate, you know, moment to moment, and be able to say, hey, this was a race. It didn't go exactly as I wanted to, but I showed up. How about I just showed up? I mean, I even just hearing you say that you still have fear around it. I mean, I think that that shows you that, and this goes with anything. I mean, I think of like the, you know, the big wave surfers, or like people that have the reality of what they're doing, the incredible focus, the moment to moment that it, focus that's needed, because just for the safety of it, right? You can't, that you are in such a zone. It's incredible. But even to hear that, you have fear, and that's healthy to have. And it also is bringing you to a new level of just inner strength to face fear and say, it's there, but I'm not going to just let it, you know, destroy me.
Yeah.
I'm kind of making friends with you. Like, I see you.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Fear is not the enemy. Fear is kind of a friend, because I mean, there's fear for a reason.
Yeah.
And it's there for a good reason. So I think it's just to accept those things and to accept the fear. And then you do your best with it and appreciate that it, it keeps you safe most of the time, or it tries to keep you safe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really the enemy that you have to overcome. It's more that you don't have to, you have to not let it overcome you. So you panic, because that's the bad thing. You shouldn't panic at 135.
Never. Please don't. So if you were to give advice to someone, or even to yourself, what's a quote or a saying or a mantra or something that has helped you through tougher times, periods where you had self-doubt, or just any lower moment? Do you have any quote that you look to that inspires you?
I have a couple, but the one that helped me a lot is also connected to my Olympic victory, because the day before I actually crashed. I did crash once, and that was the day before winning my Olympic gold medal. So that was a huge story in itself.
We
even wrote a book about it. It's pretty interesting. And it's in four languages.
So, oh my gosh. What's the name of the book?
A True Athlete.
Okay.
It's super cool. It's with my sister and
our mentor. Can we find that on
my homepage?
On your homepage. Okay. Yeah. A True Athlete. All right. I'm going to read that. I had no idea. See? That's something else.
We also do a presentation with it. So it's pretty cool. And actually, there's a quote in it saying, "What is meant for me will never miss me, and what misses me was never meant for me."
Oh.
Live life as everything was rigged in your favor. And I think that's one of the reasons why I could deal with the crash the day before, because I was really scared on the day of the Olympics, just because I couldn't really know how my body will react, because I never crashed before. So I even told myself, okay, maybe you have to break and ski out of the course at the first jump, because your body will react in a different way that you're used to, because you never crashed before. But it didn't. I was really glad for that. And I just had that mantra all day long that, if it's meant for me, it will never miss me. And I think it's such a powerful quote, and it always works, and it gets you back into the moment.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And in a way, crashing you and not being injured, obviously, to the degree that you were able to go the next day, but you almost in a way, like kind of felt what was the worst situation, and or not maybe the worst, but crashing. Yeah. Like you did it, and it's like, oh, okay, well, now it's done, and now I can get down to business. And like you said, if it's meant to happen, it will. And it did. Okay, so my final question is, what is it like to be on a podium receiving a gold medal? I mean, was it just surreal? Was it just...
Yeah, absolutely. You always see those athletes standing there singing their hymn or listening to their hymn and crying. And you always imagine yourself to be there one day. And then you're there and like receiving the medal is wonderful. And it's all day was so surreal. And then you stand there and it's the first moment that you really are that you really have to yourself, where the flag is raised and there's the hymn. And I just started crying because I can't even say why. It was so profound and such I think kind of everything that I put in came, you realize everything, but it's not like you see a film or something. For me, it wasn't like that. I just felt like kind of every teardrop, every drip of sweat and everything. Every heartbreak that skiing gave me, because it gives you a lot of heartbreaks if you're that passionate about something, but it's also great. And that everything of that just is there in one moment and you feel it. And it's, I cried like a baby.
I love that.
It was so wonderful.
Oh, well, congratulations, because you're in such a small and elite group of people who are just operating at a level, and that requires discipline. It requires, I'm sure, some major sacrifice, but it's a feeling that I think is indescribable, but yet you described it so well. So on that note, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm sure we'll have other questions for you, so maybe we can catch you on an off day again, but all the best to you. Keep doing everything you're doing. Keep moving and grooving. And you are a fabulous gold medalist overall, not just in just a humble and gracious person. And I'm just grateful to know you.
Thank you. Oh, that's so wonderful. I'm very glad that we met.
Me too.
Digitally. And I can't wait to meet you in person. And I can just send the gold medal back to you, because what you do. It's so wonderful. I love it.
You're Don't say that. I might
so many ways. It's great.
Well, thank you. We will meet in person soon. But until then, sending you lots of hugs. And as always, to everyone out there, the listeners, thank you for listening. And go look up Michelle and cheer for her. She's a winner for sure. Pulling for you all.